You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only six-star wrestling podcast on planet Earth. This is the World Class Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me as always, my partner in crime, part two of the duo, the Great Black Hype, Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, man?
I feel like the introduction gets longer and longer every day.
Every week, or every day, yeah. Every day, every week, in 6 months, it's going to be so damn long, we're going to need 5 minutes for it.
I'm just gonna be sitting there like, oh my god. You what's happening, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Remember in Rocky IV for the Apollo Creed fight when Apollo's about to fight Ivan Drago at the exhibition, and the ring announcer is naming off like his 9 nicknames, and Rocky's like, "God damn, how many nicknames do you have?" He's like, "He's almost done." It's like the Sultan of Sut, the the black albino, it was just like a whole bunch of random nicknames, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to go back and look at it.
I'm about to embarrass myself.
What's that? You never seen Rocky IV?
I've never seen any of the Rockies other than Creed.
Oh, no. Bro, Rocky is
I know. I know now. I get it. Creed is absolutely one of my 3 favorite movies ever. Like, Creed is one of the only movies that I could literally turn on at any moment of any day and watch it from beginning to end and not get tired of it. If all the rest of them are anything like that, then I missed out, and I realize that now.
Yeah, man, you ought to check them sometime, man. They're amazing. They really are.
Yeah, it's definitely in the plans. Yeah, I've seen parts of them. I've just never seen them from top to bottom.
Right, right. I got you.
Yep. Sorry, Nerd Nation. Forgive me.
Real quick, before we get going, don't forget, guys, to follow us on Twitter. Ray is at It's Ray Cash. The show is at World Class Pod. That's World Class P-O-D. And I am at Fox the Podcaster. Follow us on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, the World Class Podcast. You can also search our Twitter handle on Facebook, and it'll pull up our Facebook show page. So follow us on all social medias, give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, subscribe to the show, do all that jazz, help us out any way you can. We'd greatly appreciate it. And now we get to what everyone tuned in to listen to:
the Infinity War spoilers. Yes. Just joking.
Greatest Royal Rumble, man. Give me a grade. A, B, C, D.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I enjoyed the show, but I'm a mark. So this is difficult to give it a grade only because it was a 60,000-plus house show.
That's true.
Oh man, I'm going to give it a B minus.
Okay.
And it's not a C because it wasn't average. There was some really fun moments, but nothing of consequence happened.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, like much like a house show. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a B minus.
Did it exceed expectations, or were you expecting more?
For me, or for
what for I you, think? For you personally.
Oh no, it was right. It matched my expectations because, we have a tendency to build things up.
Uh huh.
So just be, And let me say this and be very frank about this. Just because something is advertised doesn't mean they're making it huge.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I realize a lot of people disagree with that. But what I mean is, for example, we do this podcast. It's an hour and a half out of my day. It's very important to me. It's something that I'm proud of. But it's not the only thing I do or the most important part of my day a lot of the times because I have kids. Right?
What the hell else you doing, man?
Well, if I told you that.
Why aren't you working on this show 24/7, Ray?
I work on it 23/6. I don't know. But what I mean is we advertise the show. Right?
Right.
We advertise the show. We go on Twitter and we advertise. We go on Facebook and we advertise it. This, that, and the other, right? But that doesn't mean that it is it's the only important thing to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That might be a bad analogy, but what I'm trying to get to is so many people thought because they advertised the show as much as they did and that it was so many people and that the show had such marquee matches that it was supposed to be bigger than WrestleMania. Nah, bruh, it's just a house show for the Saudis. Pretty much. And yeah, you put that much money into a show, you want people to watch. But if they really wanted people to watch, would they put it on 11 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, no, I agree.
On a Friday?
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's all I wanted to say. So yes, it matched my expectations because I've learned not to have very high ones. And I will say this. I am just at the smallest bit disappointed that there was no title changes. They could have gave us one. You know? It could have been one title change in the whole show. I don't care who it would have been. But one, just to make people say, oh shit, well I'm glad I watched. But
yeah, there wasn't a single one, was there?
Well, there, you know, the Raw Tag Champions were crowned.
Right.
But they were vacant.
Yeah.
They didn't beat somebody for them. They were vacant.
Right, right.
That's it, yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's absolutely crazy. Well, let's start with the first match, shall we?
Please, yes.
So, the first match of the day was Mr. You Can't See Me, John Cena versus The Game, Triple H.
I like how you put the pauses in there. That was very, very accurate. Very good.
Obviously, Cena goes over. Cena must pose. That's a Bruce Pritchard joke. Cause
oh no, yeah. Joke.
For anybody that doesn't listen to Bruce Pritchard, Conrad asked him, you know, one time why Hogan, even when he didn't go over, like say he got screwed out of a match and lost, he would still beat everyone up at the end of the pay-per-view and pose, you know, do his ear cupping and pumping up the arms and flexing and stuff. And he said that Vince McMahon told him one time, you know, Hogan must pose. So I just always thought that was funny. But anyway, yeah, this match, nothing was on the line. It was just to give, I guess these two guys are, you know, gods over in the Middle East.
That.
Something like
something
that. At least Hunter, at the very least. At least Triple H, at the very least. So they just put on...
Cena got a bigger pop than Hunter did, actually.
Cena did?
I would argue that his pop was louder, yes.
Okay. Cena did go over. What'd you think about the match?
It was actually a really fun match. They got good chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their only issue is that, you know, they fall into those habits of making every match that epic where... It's really slow for the first half of the match. Then it picks up out of nowhere. And then instead of having a middle, it goes straight to finisher, 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 kick out, kick out, kick out.
Yeah.
And those matches are fun too, but you get them so often, you're a little tired of them. But they had a fun match. First and foremost, John Cena coming out with all the kids after he and Nikki just broke up because he wouldn't have kids is hilarious.
Now, is that why she broke up with him? Cause
No. She left him because, remember, the whole time, and this, so a lot of people like to say Total Bellas and Total Divas is fake. This is real. This is 100% real. John Cena legitimately was not going to marry her or have kids. That was real. That was not going to happen. And Nikki had, her dream was to be a mother and a wife, among other things. So she put all that on the back burner because she loved John so much that she dealt with it. And John, while he was right, he was in his right because he admitted, he told her from jump, you want to be with me, this is what it is, was still kind of a dick for allowing her to go along with it.
Yeah, they were together like 6 years, man.
6 years, dog. And finally he got around to the point where he was like, okay, I can compromise a marriage. And that's why he proposed and all this. And he's clearly, like, in love with her.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But what kind of killed it all was that John's the rumors that John started kind of being smug about marriage, and, you know, because he didn't want to be married. All of a sudden he does, so I'm sure he was having second thoughts, and he kind of made Nikki feel like he was doing her a favor. Like it was a pity marriage. And Nikki, I guess, finally was sick of the bullshit. It was like, look, I love you, but I'm not going to continue to lessen myself just to be with you. I'm much stronger, much better than that. So she left.
Wow.
Yeah. But just the irony.
Yeah.
The points of contention in the relationship was no kids. And what does John Cena come out with the first appearance after they break up? All the kids. That's
right,
just funny to me.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
My favorite part of the match is when John Cena went for the five-knuckle shuffle and then Triple H countered it and did his own five-knuckle shuffle. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but yeah, other than that, man, it was a fun match. It was a good opener.
Yeah, I agree. It was a great opener. My favorite part of the entire night, not just that match, the entire night,
okay,
was when that cameraman that was on foot goes running up the entrance ramp walking at a fast pace, real smooth like, and stops right in front of Triple H for his entrance as he's taking off the bandana off his face. I just thought that was so cool, dude. Like, can you imagine how much of a badass Triple H feels like in that moment every single time he makes those badass entrances?
And I'm so glad you used that word, because I was about to say that Triple H has always been a badass for 20 plus years, right?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he decides to come out with the biker vest and the biker bandana?
Right.
How can you be a badass and start looking more badass?
I know, right?
Like, it's
you already crazy. A badass. Like,
yeah, like leave some for the rest of us.
Right, right. But yeah, dude, I just thought that was so cool. You know, this is like my favorite, basically my favorite moment was just seeing, like, and you know, he had to be standing there in his head like, yeah, that's right. Y'all here to see me. What's up?
You know, when he comes down the ring before he goes on the apron,
uh-huh,
and he stops right in front of the ring and the camera kind of goes around him as he's looking at the crowd.
Uh-huh.
I know that's that moment where he's thinking, oh shit, I'm a man. I know it's got to be that moment.
right. First off, you know, he probably brokered the deal, you know, because he's running most stuff. You know, Vince McMahon's got final say in most stuff, but from everything that I've read in the last 2 years, you know, Triple H is taking over a lot of stuff. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. He is the executive vice president over talent and live events. So, yeah, those are the things that Vince used to do that is completely and strictly Triple H's job.
Right. Yeah. So for him to, you know, he put that together, and then he's like a god over there, so then he's working it. He works the curtain jerker, and then he goes directly to the back, and I guarantee you, he showered, put his suit on, and was in Gorilla the rest of the time working it, and watching the show on a monitor with a headset on.
Triple H isn't the hero that he isn't the hero that we want, but he's the hero we deserve.
Yep. Real quick, before we go into the next match, not just this match, but the entire night, did the crowd seem dead, or do you think the crowd was there the whole time and it was just hard to hear them because it's an open air stadium?
It's definitely the second one, because every time they showed anybody in the crowd that wasn't the Saudi royalty who was on the floor, then that was a problem. The problem was that normally in a wrestling show, the people on the floor are just as hype as the people in the stands. Well, being the type of show this was, as special as it was, with the type of fan base that it is in Saudi Arabia, I'm gonna call them dignitaries because I don't know the actual word to call them. But it was pretty much the dignitaries and their families who were on the floor in the real special plush seats. They was just chilling. They was just content to watch the show.
Right.
People in the crowd was losing their mind. So, and then think about all the big stadium, and think about all the space that was open on the floor. I had never seen the stadium with that much space open on the floor.
Yeah, that whole, I don't know what the direction is, but basically I think it was the opposite side of the ring that the entrance ramp ends at. Mm-hmm. There's a huge open space over there. And I'm not saying like empty chairs, like a huge open space.
No chairs, nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, if you want to get an idea of what it looks like, watch the pre-show and watch Saxton, Booker, and King where they're at. There's nobody within like 60 feet of them.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I get it because it's a different culture and everything, different country. It's just, it's weird to see that. We're going to get to the match, but how I can tell if a crowd is hot or not is by, especially a foreign crowd is, do they respond to the things everybody else responds to?
Right.
When Bray Wyatt came out and everybody put their cell phones on, they into this.
Yeah.
You know, when Matt Hardy did, we're going to get to that, like I said, but when Matt Hardy stopped and started clapping and said, "This is wonderful," and did the standing ovation, the crowd did a standing ovation. Like, yeah, they're into it.
Oh, I got you. I got you. That's cool. All right, so next we have the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Cedric Alexander defended the title against Kalisto, and Alexander won and retained the Cruiserweight Championship. What did you think of the match, and did you ever, for even a split second, think that Kalisto had a chance of winning this match?
If Kalisto would have had a chance, if Kalisto had any chance to win the match, or he would have won the match, then you would have had to fight a new co-host. I'm joking. I'm joking. I don't like Kalisto, but I don't have to do that much. I'm just joking.
Right.
It was a good match. It was a very, very good match. Kalisto's a really good worker.
Yeah, he is.
What I don't like about
is.
Him has nothing to do with his in-ring ability. Like, he's a really good worker. Cedric didn't come out. Cedric really didn't get much of a response, though. But that Lucha Champ was hot.
Lucha.
Yes. Lucha. Yeah, the little kids was into that Lucha shit.
Yeah.
So, but that was fun. It was a very fun match. It's one of the better matches of the night, as oftentimes the Cruiserweights have. The seated springboard Spanish fly that Kalisto hit on Cedric was like really awesome. And I love the ending sequence where Ced went to hit him with the lumbar check. Kalisto countered it, went to hit him with the Salida del Sol, and as he's flipping, Cedric catches him and brings him down with the lumbar check. Very well done. But yeah, it was very, very good match.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't know why Kalisto got the spot, but I'm not. Yeah, I already said that. I'm not gonna go on that again.
Yeah, I agree. Kalisto is a phenomenal worker, but I don't think there was a person in the building that actually thought Kalisto was gonna go over. Right? I mean, he just wasn't built up to be a credible opponent or a credible winner of the title. I guess you would say.
A credible threat.
He was not a credible threat for the title. That's the word I'm looking for.
You want to know what I think it was? Why he won the gauntlet and was the contender for that match in that city?
Why is that?
WWE very, very clearly and openly does demographics.
Gotcha.
They know what group of fans likes which wrestler more or most. They know this.
Gotcha.
They're market research. I just truly believe in my heart that the Middle East or Saudi Arabia in general or something to that order, they must really like Kalisto and Lucha Wrestling.
I got you.
Because, again, like I said, Kalisto got one of... This is going to sound crazy. I know it is. Kalisto got one of the biggest pops of the night.
Kalisto got one of the biggest pops of the night?
Because of the Lucha chant. Yes. The Lucha chant was over.
Really?
It was truly, genuinely over. Now, I don't know if Kalisto was over, but it's the same thing. Well, when Fandango had the people Fandangoing and his music, people say he wasn't over, but his music and the Fandango dance was over. Well, that's part of something he had to do to get that over. So I got to give Kalisto his credit because people were interested. So, yeah.
That's just kind of surprising, you know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah. It's surprising for me. But we have to understand. Hey, man. Jeddah, Saudi Arabia is a far, far, far away place from central Oklahoma and southeast Texas.
Right, right. All right, so next, I do believe this is the point in time when they had the All-Star panel, right, with Byron Saxton. It was after the Raw match? After the Raw Tag Team Titles match?
Two more matches.
Okay. Okay, my bad. Edit. Just edit that shit up, bro. I'm just kidding. The Raw Tag Team Championships match was next with The Bar versus Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. And if The Bar wins, the stipulation was they would move back over to Raw with their titles, because they have been moved over to SmackDown as of right now, correct?
Absolutely.
And the no one is holding the titles right now because the 10-year-old Nicholas, who was...
He had to go to school.
He had to go to school. He was picked out of the crowd at WrestleMania by Braun Strowman. They then beat The Bar for the Raw Tag Team titles, and then they had to forfeit them the very next day on Raw to Kurt Angle because how they worded it was... scheduling dispute, you know, like because of fourth grade, is how they worded it. But anyway, so there was a tournament that ended up with these two people, and this was the finals of the tournament, and Hardy and Bray Wyatt win the match and the Raw Tag Team Championships. What do you think of this match, and did you legit think that Hardy and Wyatt was going to win?
I did think they were going to win. I don't remember if I picked them to win and when we set our predictions or not. But I thought for the majority of the time before the show that they would win. Well, we all did, right? Because before we knew the stipulation, last minute, we all thought there was no way they could lose because the Raw tag titles got to stay on Raw.
Right.
So, yeah, I wasn't surprised one bit. And, God, I'm so happy for Bray Wyatt. I'm so happy for him because he looks like he's so happy. He looks like he is having a ball again, you know?
Yep.
And what that man has been given the past couple years, let him have fun for a while. Let the crowd finally cheer this dude like they've been trying to cheer for, like, 4 years.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say it was your standard run-of-the-mill match, but I mean it was nothing special. I can't think of too many major spots. There was. I'm not getting me wrong. It was a good match. Matt Hardy and Bray, man, that's an interesting partnership to see how long it lasts.
I know, right?
Yeah,
I'm just weird.
I'm thinking to myself, can they really make them stick together for a long time?
How long are you thinking? Off the top of your head, if you had to decide how long.
I want to say Mania, but my head is saying SummerSlam.
Okay. Think they're gonna go to SummerSlam and then have a match up then, or do you think one of them's gonna turn on the other at SummerSlam?
I feel like one of them's gonna turn on the other. And while everybody just believes it's gonna be Bray, I'm hoping it's Matt.
Gotcha.
Because I think Bray needs to run with this people like me thing for a while because they've been waiting on it for a long time.
Right. Okay, man. I thought it was a fun match. It wasn't the best match on the card, but it was fun. Next, we had the WWE United States Championship match with the champion Jeff Hardy defending against the former champion of an entire 8-day reign. The modern day Maharaja.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal with Sunil Singh.
That's good.
Yeah. Hardy goes over, retains the United States Championship match. Did you think Jeff Hardy was going to win? And yes. How did you feel about the match?
I thought he was going to win because Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton is more interesting than Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton. And I cannot say anything else about this match other than the fact that that botch with that whisper in the wind is all-time great.
Now, what happened?
Jeff Hardy went to go hit the whisper in the wind, which is he climbs on the turnbuckle backwards and hits the corkscrew moonsault.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't wait for Jinder to get up. So he rushed it, and Jinder wasn't in position. So Hardy just literally just, like, he missed it and just literally took a full back bump. And Jinder, a full 2 seconds, 3 seconds later, does a back bump on his own. Like, he got delayed. It is one of the best botches I've ever seen. It is truly, truly hilarious. And God bless Corey Graves. Corey Graves is the king of explaining bad botches. Corey Graves says something to the order of, well, Jinder says playing possum, but Graves said something like he was, it was so shocking, it delayed him, or something to the order that just, it was hilarious. But it was truly bad.
Dude, I did not know this. I did not notice this botch.
I will send you the GIF. It's all over. That and the Titus GIF, that GIF, whatever you said the damn word, we'll talk about later on.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but that's one of the greatest botches ever. Ever. That is a top 10 botch of all time already.
Wow. I did not know this.
This show had two top 10 botches of all time. That's worth a $9.99 alone.
Okay, explain. Hang on a second. No, okay, you're going to send me the GIF. We don't want to bore everybody with another deal. Yeah. I cannot believe that I missed this. Now, again, you know, I watched it late at night. Usually I watch stuff in the morning over coffee. You know, I watched this. I messaged you when I watched it. But I watched it in the evening time after playing golf all day. So, you know, and I actually only watched the first half, this being the final match that I watched on the first night. And then I got up the next morning and watched the AJ Styles match. No, from the Bludgeon Brothers on. So, because I was nodding off. So I must have nodded off and missed this and then just randomly did not read anything about it on the internet today. Since then.
I just messaged it to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure everyone just heard my phone vibrate. It vibrates really loud. okay, well,
just watching it. You see it?
no. Here, I'll look at it. Let me look at it right now.
Goodness. For those listening, please just give us a second because this is worth stopping the show for.
All right, let me see this.
If you have, in fact, I will retweet it from the show page.
Yeah, tweet it. Yeah, tweet it.
The botch. It is genuinely hilarious. So much joy.
Oh my God. Oh, he took the bump anyway. Oh my God!
There you have it, folks.
Oh, if you ever want to see no. Which one
popped up in real time, there it is.
Poor Jinder.
Yeah, and it's not Jinder's fault.
No,
it's Jeff was too early.
Yeah,
Jinder should not have done that bump. But yeah, Jeff was too early.
Oh but my God, Jinder!
Nobody's gonna blame Jeff.
It reminds. It reminds me. Do you remember when? You remember when Batista did some shit like that with Mark Henry? Do you remember that?
Oh, in the cage.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen? Well, I know we're getting way off base here. Have you ever seen, like, you know, when they show hurricanes?
Uh huh.
And hurricane coverage, and I'm from Houston, so I know they have hurricane coverage, and they always send like the skinniest lady to like the coast to cover the hurricane while it's going on.
Yeah.
And when it gets really, really bad, like it pushes her back like the wind, she can't control it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It looked like wind just pushed Batista back. Yeah. It was so bad.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. All right, so the next match of the night was
good morning, watch that botch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Real quick, let me stop you right here.
Okay.
This is where we had the panel.
Okay, so the All-Star panel, which was three Hall of Famers, Jerry Lawler, Jim Ross, good old JR, Booker T, and then Byron Saxton.
Byron Saxton, because Byron Saxton called the action and had to run over there to do the panel.
Yeah, I tweeted Byron Saxton, because, you know, at the end of the panel, JR is in the middle of saying, like, Braun Strowman, and Byron has to go, "Hey, guys, y'all ready for some more action?" And everyone's like, yeah. And so I tweeted him, and I was like, "Byron, how nervous were you interrupting JR and the other two Hall of Famers to get back to the action?" Because if I was him, I'd have been nervous as hell. Like, even though he's one of their peers, like, these are still three of the, you know, three great minds in wrestling. And, you know, JR, arguably the greatest mind in wrestling, you know? And, or to me, anyway. But anyway, I just thought it was funny. But anyway, so the next match on the card was...
Hold on. The reason that they put the panel right there was because, you know, they had to have... They stopped the show for prayer.
Right.
So what they did was they did the panel, and then they did an interview with Jericho, and they did another interview, I think, with Daniel Bryan. And then they went to the next match. But they record. But what they did was they were in the arena. The next match came on directly after the U.S. title match, and then they just showed it pre-taped while they were doing prayer.
Wait, what? No.
Okay. So live in the stadium, right after the U.S. title match ended.
Uh-huh.
The Usos, the Bludgeon Brothers, came out next, directly after, live. What we saw was they stopped showing the live feed, showed Saxton with the
the All-Star panel.
The All-Star panel and some interviews in the back, and then they showed the controversial Saudi Arabia promo, and then they showed the Usos and the Bludgeons. They did that. They showed all that pre-taped, so that they could find a full 15 minutes of dead air so that the Saudis could pray and it wouldn't be on TV.
Hmm, okay.
So the match we're about to talk about was not shown to the crowd watching at home live. It was shown to the people in the stadium live.
Got you. So they orchestrated a extended delay, basically, so they would have 15 minutes. Got you.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. I did not know that, but that's cool. So next was the match we're just talking about with the Bludgeon Brothers is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. The champions, the Bludgeon Brothers.
Luke and Eric Bludgeon.
Yep, defending against the Usos. Do you think, how long have they been the Bludgeon Brothers now?
Since December?
Okay. Do you think, how many people out there do you think really, honestly, truly believed that this gimmick, when they were repackaged, was going to get over? Because I'll tell you right now, I was not one of them. I was like, this shit ain't going to last 6 weeks.
You talking about the beginning?
The very beginning, when like the first vignette came out of them being the Bludgeon Brothers.
How many people do I think believed in it?
Do you think it was a resounding yes? Oh, yeah, this will work. This will be great.
Here you go. One person believed in it, and that is Vince McMahon. And that's the only person that needed to. And I say that because I've heard an interview from Luke Harper talking about what he thought when they told him, "Hey, by the way, you're about to be a Bludgeon Brother." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And then Vince himself was like, "Hey, so I see you at the vignettes later on today." Vince went to the vignettes to personally produce it. So he's 100% behind the gimmick. So Luke was like, "Well, if Vince is behind it, I kind of got to get behind it."
Right.
So
right.
To answer your question, at the very beginning, not one person but Vince.
Yeah, and I mean, not and it's Luke worked, favorite. And it's worked great. I really like the gimmick. I'm just saying, but I was not one that believed in it.
None that is not so hokey. when it first started, it was really, really, really 90s gimmicky with the vignettes of them hammering the camera and the birds flying before they came. Like, it was really gimmicky. But just like I use Emma as my perfect example of a bad gimmick turning good. When Emma was in NXT and she was doing that dumb ass dance, when she started, everybody was like, who the fuck is this? No, seriously, people were looking at her like, what are you doing? And then she started wrestling. And we're like, oh, she could wrestle. Then it started becoming endearing. It's the same thing with the Bludgeons. At first, I don't know about this. And then it started wrestling. And then we remembered, oh, shit, they're good. Then we stopped caring about how ridiculous the gimmick was. And it started becoming more regular. Because now there's just two guys that carry hammers and wrestle. Before, I don't know what they were going for.
Yeah. True story. So obviously the Bludgeon Brothers went over to retain the championships. What'd you think of the match?
It was a fun match. What I enjoyed about it the most was I appreciate progression in the storyline, right?
Okay.
Very beginning, Usos couldn't stand 3 minutes with the guys. New Day couldn't stand 3 minutes with the guys. That progressed and progressed and progressed to where both of them, they gave them their best shot at WrestleMania, but at the end of the day, they got squashed. Then that progressed and progressed to, well, we're going to take them out one by one. And Jay got beat, Naomi got involved, Jimmy beat Rowan, right? And involved. And they prepared and prepared and prepared for this one match. And this match was not very long, maybe, what, like 8 minutes?
But yeah.
If you watch the match, it wasn't a squash. It was a back-and-forth match until the very end. The Usos were putting it to them. They were truly, truly motivated. They hit him with every super kick. They hit him with the Uso splash, and Luke still kicked out at 1.5. But you know, it was a real match. Like, they really, genuinely, it was competitive for the first time since the Bludgeons have been fighting regular tag teams.
Right.
But the Bludgeons are the better team right now, and when it got down to it, they handled business. So yeah, I appreciate that progression to where it wasn't just squash, 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 squash. It was squash, squash, kind of squash, competitive, real good match. That's what it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, true story, man. Very much. I agree with you 100%. 100%. 100%. So next, we had what I feel like is probably the best match of the night. And that is the Intercontinental Championship Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match between the champion Seth Rollins defending against Finn Balor, The Miz, and Samoa Joe. Rollins goes over, retains the title. What did you think of the match?
Best match of the night, probably.
Yep, I agree with you. Can I say something first on this one?
By all means.
On this match, there was the badass ending where Rollins springboard off the middle of the ropes onto the ladder and beat Balor up to the championship, right?
Yes.
What the hell was the cameraman doing? You don't see the finish until you watch the replay. You don't see the springboard or anything. How cool would that have been to see it live and to see what the pop was all about? Like,
so, yes, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that was an awesome... That was a... I mean, dude, they're not just any human being can do what Seth Rollins just did there. These guys are rare talents already, being professional wrestlers and taking the physical damage that their body takes night in and night out. But then, you know, you take it one step further, and not all pro wrestlers or human beings can do that springboard effectively like Seth Rollins just did. And then for him to land on a ladder 3/4 of the way up and to climb all the way up to grab the title and blah, 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 blah. And we didn't even get to see it except for in the replay. It was just kind of lame. You know what I mean? Other than that, that's my only complaint. You know what I mean? Other than that, this match was, I mean, phenomenal. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out because I complained about I not complained about it out loud, but in my head I was just after the match I was just like, oh man, that sucked. Come on.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
So my only argument will be this: We all know that the camera work in WWE can be oftentimes ridiculous. Yes. My only argument would be this, and this is coming from assuming that this was real, right? Not assuming that this was a scripted entertainment event, which we know it is. Assuming it's real. It happened so fast that if you would have blinked or turned your head, you would have missed it anyway. So I think there is some intrigue, and again, this is just me really trying to pivot, but I think there's some intrigue in, oh shit, the camera missed that because it happened so damn fast. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, let me give you an example. Have you ever seen, watching football, when a quarterback pump fakes so well that the camera goes where it thinks the ball is?
Oh, yeah.
And has to switch back because the guy's running a bootleg?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love those moments because it makes me think, damn, he was so good, he pump faked the camera. So, now, I'm not trying to stick up for him because it was pretty bad, and that should have been shown because they knew the spot was going to happen, but that's the only argument I got.
Right, right. Yeah, that was my only complaint. Besides that, I thought the match was, I mean, it's about a perfect ladder match, Fatal 4 ladder matches you're going to get, wouldn't you say?
Especially considering how just 3 weeks ago we saw a 5-star ladder match. So, yeah.
Yeah.
compared to that, it was really good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Are you happy with Rollins retaining the title?
The way he did it, yes. I mean, I wouldn't have minded Rollins retaining anyway because Rollins is a monster. He's amazing, and he's on maybe what could be considered the best run of his career.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just I win just because I won. It was I took the belt literally out of Finn Balor's fingertips. So now, Monday night, tonight, that's going to cause some contention between those two people.
Yeah, they're finally going to – I think they're – going to be not so friendly.
Yes.
Like they've been in the past.
Absolutely. And which, that is what I'm waiting on.
Yep, because that is going to be phenomenal. It's going to be glorious.
Glorious. I want to teach you the words so bad, but I don't.
I know, right? Someone needs to tweet me the words at World Class Pod. If you know the words, tweet them into us. We'd love to have them. I'm not going to Google them, so if I don't ever get them, I'm just going to keep going like I'm going.
That's funny.
Next, we have the WWE Championship match between AJ Styles versus the artist known as Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, wait, real quick.
What's up?
Shout out to Greg Hamilton, the guy who called, who was the announcer. He was really on his Justin Roberts shit.
He was on point, wasn't he?
He was on the owner. Yeah, he was like really going at it. Okay. You're really feeling it right now. Just wanted to point it out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Shinsuke's music now has lyrics. What do you think about that?
I love it. It goes
sounds
back
badass.
It does, and I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's the best part, because he could literally just be saying, fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah, he could be saying, you know, pina colada or something, I don't know.
Pina colada, yes.
But
it proves my point.
Yeah.
That when you're a heel, you can't have music that's over with the crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's why they changed it.
Is that why they changed it?
So the crowd wouldn't sing along with it. And in storyline, the storyline is that Shinsuke was tired of the fans singing with the song, so he asked for lyrics. That's the storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be tired of it too if you're trying to get over as a heel. You're trying to legit get over as a heel, and you know you can't because people's, you know, keep humming your entrance music after the music goes off. You know what I mean? I've read before that one of the many things that WWE jacked up with Jack Swagger's character was they gave him cool entrance, you know, when they made him the extreme, like, the pretty much kind of a bigot that, like, was talking about, you know, illegal aliens don't need to be coming into the country, like, you know, this alt-right lunatic, you know.
Xenophobe,
yeah. They made him xenophobic. Cesaro was with him for a while, and he was with Zeb Coulter. Anyway, one of the many things that I read that, you know, people say that they messed up with Jack Swagger's character is is he's supposed to be this really rotten heel, but he's got really cool entrance music, and he's got a really cool catchphrase that he invites people to say with him when he's like, "We the people!" You know what I mean? Like, it's hard for someone to get over like a true heel like that when all this stuff is actually geared for people to get behind him. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the crazy thing. I know what WWE was trying to do. They were trying to alienate the crowd by having him chant something
right
at them. But this is one of those moments where WWE was wrong, because that was something that very clearly the fans wanted to chant.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did everything right as far as like building a great character. But I mean, I just think they might have kind of did it at the wrong time, I guess you would say. Because at that time, he's supposed to be building himself up as this big hated heel, and they've got all this, you know, this stuff that's proven and that they're really good at, but it was just the wrong time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. WWE really that's the problem a lot of times is timing.
Yeah.
They missed their timing, which was why I was so excited about the Swagger character, because that was one of the few times they were relevant. Swagger and Muhammad Hassan are probably two of the times that WWE was culturally relevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I dig it. I agree.
They missed the book, yeah.
Yep. So next, or did I say it was double count out, AJ retained his title.
There's nothing more. Nothing at all more disappointing on this card than having that end and that type of finish.
Oh yeah, I know. Like,
because I understand, this match was headed to be better than the WrestleMania match. It was on its way.
Agreed. There's maybe I don't care about it so much now that these big time shows every month, they're not pay per views really anymore, because we pay $9.99 a month to get everything.
Special events, yeah.
Right. But I used to hate it when I would see countouts, disqualifications, blah, 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 to end a championship match on a pay-per-view. I hated it because, like, you're like, man, you know, we spent money on this and we're still not seeing a conclusion, even though a lot of times it is necessary. I'm not complaining that it wasn't necessary. Sure. A lot of times, you know, you can only have Shinsuke Nakamura lose clean to AJ Styles before people start not looking at him as a credible threat. So you got to have small, you know, finishes like that. You see what I'm saying? But when I was paying $50 for SummerSlam and I'd see a double count out, I'm like, oh, come on. You know what I mean?
So my only issue with it now is because, like you said, I understand why they do it.
Right.
My only issue is this. You did a double count out just to run the rematch 9 days later.
Yeah.
Like, so that tells me as a fan that match didn't matter because it was just a conduit to get to the match of Backlash, which kind of in the turn makes me care less about, not I don't, but which would make me care less about the feud as a fan, because it's very clear that these matches ain't mattering to y'all. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have much rather AJ get disqualified because he got incensed that Shinsuke was doing stuff to piss him off.
Right.
Than to have a double count out. Like, have AJ just go off and attack him, kind of like Roman did that to somebody not too long ago. Where he just went up. Was it Sheamus? Where he just said screw it and just started attacking him with the chair. But just, you know, I'm not saying go that far, but
I can't remember.
Do something creative.
Yeah.
Do something creative to get to the next match. Because the night wasn't over. And they were already advertising AJ versus Shinsuke at Backlash.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. But maybe at Backlash we'll actually get a clean victory out of one of them. Do you think they're ever going to put the title on Shinsuke?
I feel like Shinsuke is going to win the championship. Absolutely. There's no bigger point of evidence that the Greatest Royal Rumble was a glorified house show than ha- having a double count out so that the champion can retain, get the shot at the end of the match so the crowd can be happy. Because AJ's over, and AJ Styles is very over in Saudi Arabia. AJ got some pretty big cheers and chants, and everybody, all the little kids were doing his little hand pose.
Right.
So I feel like they just want to give them a big match. AJ and Shinsuke was the feud of the moment. But Shinsuke's going to win, but couldn't win that night because they wanted the crowd to be happy.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
By the way, we missed one major point, and that's my fault.
What's up?
Did we miss it? Anyway, if we didn't miss it, it's about to come up now. But when the four Saudi trainees who got signed by WWE in the training session.
Yeah. When was that?
Let's do it now because it had to be somewhere around this area. We'll talk about it now.
Okay. But you want to kind of give us a little rundown?
Please do. Yeah.
You want me to do it?
I'll do it. It's up to you. I don't want to steal your job.
Oh yeah. Yeah, damn it, I'm the host, bruh. You're the talent, I'm the host, pal.
I wouldn't call myself talent, but sure.
Anyway, so they were showing clips of the WWE tryouts over in Saudi while they're over there for the week or whatnot. And they have like this boot camp. I don't know how long it lasted, but ultimately they got at least four guys that they're going to give opportunities to make it to the Performance Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have these four guys. They come to the ring. They're telling them congratulations, letting people give them a round of applause. And who comes out?
Aria and Sean Daivari. The kids from Iran.
Yeah.
You don't know. Iran and Saudi Arabia don't really got no. They got beef. It's like Peter Griffin and the Big Chicken.
They come out waving the Iran flag, right? And they get in the ring and they tell them, you know, hey, y'all are nothing. You're zeros. I'm a real WWE superstar. Blah blah blah. They hit. I forgot what they hit. They hit each one with, but there was multiple moves, and one of them got pushed down. And anyway, it was kind of like just one of those spots where the four trainees hit moves on the heel, the bad guy that's talking crap to him. It was a fun little 5-minute segment, wouldn't you say?
It was, and it was cool to pump up the Saudi Arabian crowd with actual Saudi wrestlers.
Yeah, it was really cool. I thought it was really just, you know, just funny.
The funny part about it to me was Aria Daivari, who was actually signed, he's on the 205 Live. You know, Sean Daivari is Daivari that we know from back in the day with Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in years.
Right.
Aria Daivari was talking how he was so excited that his brother was back. But the second Sean started talking all the trash and then they started attacking him, Aria dipped so fast out that ring. So Sean took a punch to the face, a scoop slam, where my man milked that scoop slam. Like that was on some I've been wrestling for a long time stuff. Because he walked around the ring with him for like 20 seconds, looked at the crowd, was like, are you ready? Like that was very impressive.
Yeah.
The other man hit him with a beautiful spin roundhouse kick.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last dude threw him out the ring. It was like I was cheering for those guys.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the spot was just fantastic. It was just really funny. And Daivari selling that when they do the close-up of his face and he's just got his oh shit face on like, how dare you?
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it was great, man. So next we had an Undertaker versus Rusev match, and it was a casket match. Obviously, Taker goes over. I shouldn't say obviously, but Taker went over. It had been almost a decade since he had had and or won a casket match. Is that right? 8 years, 9 years or something?
Since he had been in one, yeah.
Yeah.
But the last casket match we've had
was 2 years ago, right?
Two or three. It was one of Daniel Bryan's last matches. He had a casket match with Kane.
Gotcha. Yeah, they had mentioned the time frame that's been like first one in WWE in 2 years, and then first one the Undertaker's been in like 8 or 9 years or something like that. They gave some statistics. I should have written them down. But anyway, what'd you think about this match, man?
So the shock of the night, of the entire night, is that this match lasted about 10 minutes, and Rusev got some serious offense in. Like, this was a real match. It wasn't a squash just to put over Taker.
Right.
Like, it was a real match. Taker took some real punishment.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? And Rusev, again, for those of you who think, the company doesn't like Rusev, and they're not pushing him, and they don't believe in him. Rusev got shine against The Undertaker in the show that the actual king of the country asked for him to be at specifically. And this dude they don't care about the guy. But I will say the two things that stand out to me most is, number one, Aiden English took that tombstone. He sold to hell that tombstone.
He looked like a champ.
Yes, it looked like his head went through the mat.
Yeah.
And number two, it was hilarious that Rusev kept saying, bury me softly. And then softly and beautifully that they were laid in the casket together. It was just
Oh, that's funny, man.
Taker's good, though.
Taker looks surprisingly good. Rusev, yeah. I think that had a lot to do with Rusev. I think Rusev made him look like $1 million. Yeah. I'm not saying Taker is not looking like $1 million, but he is showing his age. But Rusev took real good care of him. A lot of good spots and stuff like that. It was a fun match.
Taker looked good enough to make people once again start questioning why they did the spot with him and Cena.
Yeah,
he looked that good.
I agree. Next, we had the WWE Universal Championship match in a steel cage. Yeah. Solid steel cage, but Brock Lesnar defending his title against Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Lesnar wins the match and retains the Universal Championship match. What did you think about this match, and what did you think about them putting this one in a steel cage?
So, I hate steel cage steps. I hate steel cages in general. But again, steel cage screams house show to me, but this was the biggest house show in history, so it was apropos. But I hate steel cages for this one reason. Either it has to be pinfall and submission, or escape the cage. I hate that all steel cage matches in WWE have all the exact same step. I hate that, because it makes everybody in the match look stupid. Oh, I'm going to spend 15 minutes trying to beat this guy up. Well, at the end of it, I'm tired of just going to escape the cage. Well, you could have been did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will say this. Even though this match, once again, was just a bunch of Superman punches, F5s, and spears, and Germans, this match was better than WrestleMania. There was some intrigue. You got a chance to see some real viciousness. And I don't know if I call the spot on this show, but I said it on Outsider's Edge. I said that what I would want to see it end is Roman spearing him through the cage.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, that was the perfect finish if you weren't going to give Roman the belt for this one reason. The whole story of their feud is Brock doesn't respect Roman. Brock and Roman can't be Brock. That's the whole story of their feud, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've added the extra layer that Vince, this is storyline, of course, because I know how fans are. Vince might not believe in Roman like we think he does, because Brock is his quote-unquote guy.
Right.
So for Roman, who got his ass whipped at 31, got his ass whipped in the triple threat match with him and Dean at whatever show that was, at Fastlane a couple years ago, got his ass whipped in the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam last year, and then got his ass whipped at WrestleMania by Brock 4 times. He finally had the upper hand and was beating Brock and had him beat, but Brock sneaks away.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's genius.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't have said it better. I'm not even going to try because I couldn't have said it better. It was genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
And for people who complain that Brock, he needs to work more dates, he does. But for the money he makes every night, he earned every ounce of that money by taking that bump. Because I don't know if you saw it in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
That man, like, there was no give. He literally bounced off of, he bounced like a foot off of that mat when he slammed.
Wow.
It was, yeah, like, if you watch New Japan, Hiromu Takahashi does a move where he does a sunset flip to people mm-hmm. on the apron, off the apron, onto the floor. And that bump is bad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have momentum that Brock had going through. Roman hit him through the ropes, going through the cage, and having no give. It's ooh.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, man. That was rough. So next.
I'm intrigued now about Roman for once. Now, well, what's the deal about Roman? And for the first time in a long time, there is real intrigue.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not intrigued by him, but I think it has elevated the eyes on Roman because people are like, what's next? Even I kind of backtrack a little bit. Even I am kind of watching, my eyes are on Roman now, kind of questioning, well, what happens next? I mean, you've lost to Lesnar. Is it time to regroup and try to come back at him in a few months? Like, or is it time to change storylines completely or, you know? And so, yeah, I'm watching him too.
Let me change the statement. There is intrigue about about the story with Roman. People might not care, but there is legitimate intrigue now. Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's probably way better the way you put it than the way I put it.
Well, I respect the fact that there are people out there that just really don't like Roman, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you like him or you don't, if there's a good story, you could, like, I don't like Natalya at all. Not one bit. Nothing mm-hmm. about, I don't like her.
Yeah.
But the story that's being told with her and Ronda Rousey is a tremendous story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, like, when there's a good story, you, even if you don't like the people involved, you got to admit, hey, well, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All right. So, the 50-man Battle Royal. Excuse me, Royal Rumble. If you're listening to this, you obviously know who won, so we're going to go ahead and tell you, just like we did the rest of the matches. But Braun Strowman won. I actually was not expecting Strowman to win, and listen to this sound logic. Listen to this sound logic. You ready for this?
I'm listening, yes. I'm at the edge of my seat.
Okay. So, sorry, I had to push something on my phone. This sound logic is that JR mentioned he thought Braun Strowman was going to win on the All-Star panel. So I thought to myself, oh, there's no way Braun Strowman's going to win then. Boom! Sound logic. And then, so I'm like, for sure, well, Dean O'Brien's going to win this bad boy. And then they go in there and Braun Strowman wins the whole damn thing.
Yep. So, give me your thoughts about it before I tell you mine.
You want me to give my thoughts first?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So, first off, I thought it was freaking awesome that Daniel Bryan comes in first and he lasts almost all the way to the end. Thought it was phenomenal. I liked, there was a perfect mixture of wrestlers we knew with like the sumo wrestler came in. I thought that was pretty cool. I liked Mark Henry coming out of retirement for this one match. I loved, apparently, I didn't even notice it, but the Great Khali was already scheduled to be in there. That wasn't a surprise, right?
Right, yeah, he was scheduled.
I did not know that, so it was a surprise for me. It was cool. I liked it. I like how Braun Strowman wasn't in there for a long time. He came in at 42, right?
42, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Rey Mysterio looked really good in there. I thought all around it was a really cool match. Titus, I thought, was the highlight of the show. I feel bad for Titus, man. It couldn't have happened to a nicer dude. You know when Black Panther came out, Titus went, and I think he got 50 underprivileged African-American kids and bought them tickets and took them to the movie to see Black Panther because he said, I can't remember his exact words, but he's like, we need more African American people in
representation. Yeah,
yeah, representation for positive role models for these kids. So he took a bunch of underage African American kids to the movies. He donates money to a large sum of money every year to charity. He helps homeless people. You know, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. But when it comes, yeah, yeah, he's an amazing human being. I hope that I can be 1/10 of the human being that Titus O'Neil is. But if we're talking about just solely for entertainment value, and we're not talking about everything that he did behind the scenes, like, that is freaking hilarious, and it goes with his character so well. If you're going within kayfabe, because he's this guy that looks at himself as like he's making moves all the time, making moves, you know, Titus Worldwide, you know, and so like he can come out on Raw Monday and be like, man, I stole the show. I stole the show. You want to be with this guy? Look, we're solid. We're on our 2 feet. We're solid. Our feet are planted. We're here to stay. You know, he can make puns like that. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, you know, to your point, I don't know if you remember when he was on NXT, the game show NXT, not the, you know, the promotion.
Yeah, carrying the keg or something, right?
Yeah, but no, that's another one too where he tripped over his own feet. Well, but when they, you know, they used to make them, one of the main staples was they had the promo challenge where you had like 30 seconds or 15 seconds to make a promo on the spot about random ass topics.
Right.
And his promo about Make It a Win, which was terrible, he still uses Make It a Win to this day. So, like you said, he takes lemons and makes lemonade. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's, dude, I love it. I absolutely love it. What's your thoughts on it?
So, I got a couple thoughts, so you will bear with me.
Let's hear it.
First, before I get to the show,
yeah,
I want to tell everybody listening that me and my grandmother are super close. My grandmother and my grandfather did a very, very large part in raising me. My grandma decided to watch the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match and the Grand Royal Rumble match with me. Now, mind you, my grandma and my grandpa are the ones that got me into wrestling. My grandma watched it pretty consistently until about 2006 or 7 or so like that. Once I left the house when I graduated high school, she kind of stopped watching it because I wasn't there. But she knows a lot of the people. You know, John Cena's a guy. She knows like a lot of Edge, Kofi. Like, she knows a lot of people. But anyway, I want to say, and this, I've been waiting all weekend for this. My grandma's never seen this guy before, ever. Knows nothing about him. But my grandma hates Daniel Bryan.
What? Why?
And the irony of my grandmother hating Daniel Bryan when I'm the person that criticizes him the most on the internet is hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny. That's really funny.
This is why she hates Daniel Bryan. And this, it proves my point. Mind you, she'll be 84 in a few days. 84-year-old woman, don't watch wrestling, nothing, right?
Right.
Hasn't watched it ever. Has no idea who the guy is. Doesn't know. I had to explain to her Roman Reigns was. Everybody who came out of the Greatest Royal Rumble, I had to give her some sort of explanation if they hadn't been around for a while. They kind of give her an idea who they were.
Right.
So she has no idea about anything about this dude.
Gotcha.
The reason she doesn't like him is because she could very easily tell. And she knows wrestling is fake and scripted and all this stuff. She could very easily tell that the goalposts were moved for Bryan, that they were trying to help him, that they weren't fighting him as much, they were letting him take a lot of breaks and breathers, that clearly that the people wanted him to win. She could tell from watching a show for an hour. So there you go, right?
Yeah.
You know, so everything people say about certain other people who I'm not going to say, Roman Reigns, my grandmother could tell that about Bryan. Anyway, it was hilarious because, you know, Bryan and Ziggler started, and she was fine with them, but as the match kept going on, she kept saying, well, why is Bryan still in the match? Well, you know, Nana, he's probably going to last a long time. You know, he's probably going to be one of the final guys in the match. You know, he's one of the top guys, is that and the other. I just want to throw him out. Okay. A few minutes later, why is he still in the match? Somebody needs to throw him out. When he went to the floor, she was losing her mind. See, this is why I don't watch this, because they don't clearly they want him to win. They let him sit on the floor. He ain't fighting nobody. Well, now he's been in the match for an hour. I don't care. He need to be in the ring. Okay. Yes, ma'am. When they threw him out, she was so happy.
It made her night, did it?
It made her night. I just wanted to point that out. That's hilarious to me.
That's hilarious.
To the match. Shout out to Daniel Bryan for lasting the longest in a Royal Rumble history.
Yeah, was it an hour? It was over an hour. I know that. It's like, I can't remember.
Dog.
Huh?
16 minutes.
Hour and 16 minutes. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable.
So, yes. So, my prediction was Daniel Bryan, and the second prediction was Braun Strowman. And I thought Daniel Bryan, because of the story of that show doesn't matter, you know, at the end of the day, you don't get anything from it but the trophy and the beautiful title. The title is beautiful, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. So why not give it to Brian? It's an accolade he could have. But the story that they told with Big Cass kicking him out, leading to further with their story, was perfect. And Braun Strowman winning. Two things are about to happen. And I want you guys to know, you heard it first on the World Class Podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay? Two things about to happen.
Okay.
Number one, Braun's about to beat Brock Lesnar very soon.
Yes.
Number two, and this is the one I want you to pay attention to, okay? The crowd will hate Braun Strowman by SummerSlam.
What the hell are you talking about?
And I don't mean like he's gonna turn heel. I mean the crowd's gonna turn on Braun.
Bro, this show is drug and alcohol free, man. You know I'm in recovery. Can't be getting drunk coming on the airwaves talking about this stuff, man.
The only thing I get drunk on right nowadays is tea and some Gatorade. I'm not drunk.
Sweet tea.
Bro, I'm a black man in Houston in the South. Yes, it's straight liquid sugar.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's the best type. So Braun's
hey,
gonna
you
get
know
turned
what?
On.
Real quick, I want someone out there listening to take a picture of the Nation of Domination when Owen Hart was in the Nation. You remember that?
Yeah.
And someone needs to put Ray's face on Farouk and then put my face on Owen Hart. That'd be the coolest picture ever.
That's hilarious. Enough is enough, and it's time for a change, bro.
Enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
He tried to tell y'all he was not a nugget. He tried to tell you.
I am not a nugget, or I don't
I
look
am
like
not a nugget.
Yeah, that's right. That was his line in all the wrestling games too. I am not a damn nugget. Anybody has the ability to do that, hit me up at World Class Pod or at Fox the Podcaster, and I will supply you with all the pictures. I tell you what, if someone can make that, we haven't made our shirts yet, but we do own the shirts. We just haven't put the emblem or, you know, what is it called? Not the emblem. We haven't put
the logo.
Yeah. We haven't put the logo on there, but if you can do that, and hook me up with the picture the way I want it, I will hook you up with the first free shirt out of there. If anybody listening has the ability to do that, so hit me up at World Class Pod or at Fox Podcaster if you think you can do it, and I'll supply you with all the stuff. What's up?
Game changer.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to get that out there.
You're good, man. I just wanted to point out that the crowd's about to turn on Braun.
That's crazy, man. We're going to have to talk about that more.
Okay, you want to save that for another show, or you want to tell you now? I got to save it for another show.
No, I think we'll open up with it tomorrow. I think that'll be our opening deal, so don't let me forget. Oh, I won't let you forget anyway, because I want to hear more about this, but I want to be able to ask some questions and stuff, and it's about time for us to go right now anyway, so yeah, I think it'll be a good thing to lead in first thing tomorrow before we start talking about before we review Raw in the morning. So, is there anything else you want to talk about, man, before we take off?
So, did you see Infinity War this weekend?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I have nothing else to say.
Me and my wife are going to go watch it one day this week, and then we'll be able to talk about it on the air. So that'll give a couple more days for everyone that's listening to watch it too, so we can kind of talk a little bit more freely about it. And still won't talk spoilers, but we can, you know, more people will have seen it by then as well. So
just do me a favor.
What's up?
I just have one thing.
Yeah.
After you watch it, make sure you give yourself at least 12 hours before you get on the podcast, because you might still be crying.
Oh, that bad, huh? That awesome?
Bro. Yes.
Emotional?
Spoiler free, by the way. Spoiler free. I didn't give anything away.
Cool. I dig it. All right, man. Well, for everyone out there listening, don't forget to follow Ray at It's Ray Cash on Twitter. You can follow the show at World Class Pod. That's World Class Pod. And you can follow me at Fox the Podcaster. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Oh, and today, officially, this will be the first episode, Ray.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to go ahead and announce that. We forgot to put that at the beginning of the show, but we'll go ahead and talk about it right now. That Ray...
Doing big things, pimping. Big things, everybody.
Big things. This is actually our first episode that will be affiliated with the Chair Shot Radio Network. So we are joining the Chair Shot Radio Network. We will also be writing a weekly opinion article for thechairshot.com. They're a great website. Their numbers of amount of eyes that look at this website every single day are phenomenal. They've only been around since, I believe, November 2017, and they have already surpassed so many wrestling websites. Their content is amazing. The people that own the website are amazing, and we are very proud to be officially affiliated with the Chair Shot. I'm actually going to be writing, starting next week, I will be writing a kind of a journal entry weekly article that is about being a fan of wrestling my entire life and then finally getting a job in the wrestling business. And it's just going to kind of chronicle what I do in the wrestling business now that I officially pay my bills with money that I make in the wrestling business. I know that might sound a little weird, but if you think about it, like, you know, that's every wrestling fan's dream to be able to work in the wrestling business. And I, by the blessing of God and my wife making sure that I got clean and sober off of drugs and alcohol, I was able to get a job in the wrestling business, and it's been the time of my life so far. And so that's what my weekly journal entry style article is going to be about every week. Ray, is there anything you want to say about your weekly article that you're going to be putting up? Is it just going to be about a million different things, or do you have one thing that you're going to talk about, or what's up?
If you've ever read my work, you know what's up.
you know what's up.
Yeah, I'm very much an opinionist, not unlike somebody that would write for like a newspaper or like a ESPN or something or whatnot. I'm very much an opinionist, so everything I write about will most likely be something current. But I guarantee you, there's not another person on this earth who writes like me.
Well, cool, man. I would definitely have to agree. You're very unique in your writing style. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm a fan.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. And myself and Ray are both very excited about officially being a part of thechairshot.com. It truly is an honor to be asked to join. They asked us to join, and you know, we graciously accepted because we were very happy about the offer. It's really awesome. And Ray, just on a personal note, honest to God, there is no other person on earth that I would want to be taken or I would not want to be with on this journey as we officially affiliate with thechairshot.com. There's no one else that I'd want to be with besides you, man. So I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much.
So you're telling me if Carmella said, "Hey, Jordan, let's do a show together," you'd be like, "Nope, I got Ray."
Ooh, now, come on now. Why are you going to put me on the spot like that? You know, my girl Carmella. My girl Mella. F-A-B-O-L-U-S. Yeah, no worries, man. For real, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, dude. There's no other person, seriously, on earth that I want to take this journey with, and I think we're gonna be with the chair shot for a very long time, and I think we're all gonna make money together. I think we're all gonna have a blast together. I think we're gonna make a huge impact on wrestling journalism as a whole together. And we got a lot of big things in the work that's going to be coming out in the next 45 to 90 days, not just podcasts, but maybe some video stuff, maybe all kinds of live stuff. Who knows? We're working on all those things, right now with some other people, and, we'll have the announcements for all that in the coming weeks. Right, Ray?
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee you that if you've been with us these first few, let's say 50 days, you ain't seen nothing yet. We are planning on trying our best to not only give you very, very good, unique content, but different types of content. Yeah. Foreshadow.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. And last thing I'll say is we appreciate every single one of you guys that tune in each and every day and listen to the show. We appreciate that from... I appreciate that. We both appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts, man. We couldn't do it without you guys tuning in every single day to listen. Because y'all tune in is the reason the Chair Shot came and found us. The Chair Shot offered us a position on the website, and in turn, that's going to open us up so where we can do a bunch more stuff to really engage with y'all and to bring more wrestling news and more wrestling opinion to you guys each and every day. So we appreciate that very, 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 very much. And Ray, if you don't have anything else, we will send it on home until tomorrow morning.
That's it, man. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. See y'all tomorrow.
Absolutely. All right, guys, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?